Welcome to episode 27 of the Sign Radio Show. We talk about the competition aspect of our scene and if it feels better to come out on top or just compete for the fun of it.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of the Sign Radio Show. I'm Aki.
Maxwell.
And I'm Zephoid.
27 already?
Like a certain renegade master. How you guys been?
Quite well.
Quite okay. My voice is still a bit struggling, but we'll see where we land here. So I will regularly go mute for coughing, but tested negative.
It makes it real, makes it profound. But everybody's been like, it's the autumn misery where everybody's getting kind of sick.
Yeah.
I'm just happy that I didn't catch anything going to Bergen this weekend, last weekend, because of the Back in Time Live thing. I mean, a lot of people there. I do know that some people have been ill after it, but not me so far. Knock on wood and everything like that.
Let's hope it stays that way. It was a good time in Bergen.
Yes, it was really good. Extremely decent weather for being Bergen. I mean, I think Bergen has like 239 rain days per year, so it's always raining and everything like that. But it was actually quite nice now, so I'm not complaining at all. I didn't do that much spelunking and touristing though, but the others did. So it was really, really awesome. It was a really awesome weekend as well. So
nice.
And the event itself?
The event itself went really, really well, I must say. It was, I mean, two nights of retro goodness, to be honest, and some hard rocking music with the Fast Loaders. And then we had, of course, a bunch of people coming from abroad as well. Sadly, Matthew Cannon couldn't join us, but we had Jaron Tell, we had Barry Leach coming from the US, we had Chris Hulsbeck coming from the US as well, and we have Tim Wright coming from Switzerland. And we just had a really, really good time, I must say.
How many people showed up in the end?
I think it was about 120, 130 or something like that. Okay. So not too many, sadly, but I think that we'll actually not be in the red. So that should be something. I'm still hoping to get paid for the flight and stuff, so you never know. Yeah. But we had a really, really good chat. I held a sort of a, not really discussion panel, more of a friendly banter interview thing on the Saturday with the... Well, that couch had over 100 years of game composing in itself. So it was really, really massive. And I managed to I managed to get quite some fun things out of them as well, because I'm not the one to prepare much. You guys know that, by the way. but I do like to have a sort of a discussion and bouncing of stuff instead. So just point somewhere and then take it off from there and then bounce back, especially since, throughout the years, I've been kind of starstruck by all these four gentlemen anyway, because of the simple fact that, hey, they've done so much cool stuff through the years. And I literally grew up idolizing quite a bunch of them as well. Like, okay, so here I'm actually a really good friend with Chris Hulsbeck. Like, what, for instance? So really cool. But since I do know quite a lot about what they've been doing through the years, it's quite easy to just spin off in that and just... have a nice discussion.
What's the key thing that you took home that from the event that you said, okay, this was like the best thing that happened?
To be honest, it's basically meeting primarily Tim and Barry again. I haven't met them in ages. And Jeroen is kind of, I meet him every other year nowadays anyway. Chris has also been quite often over in Europe. But overall, just hanging out with the lads and just having fun, because lots of good old discussions and gotten to know a lot of secrets and struggle that people have been working through in the primarily in the 80s and 90s. So it's really, really amazing.
And what's Hulsbeck doing these days now?
Music, as
still?
Always.
As a thing, like his own artist kind of thing, and releasing music like that, and that's
I mean, he works quite a lot with his Patreon, actually. So he makes a track per month, and he has a bunch of patrons. But he also does a lot of music for games and other videos and stuff like that. So,
but he's not linked to video games anymore, is it?
Yes, he is. Yes, okay. He does a lot of video game music occasionally. But, I mean, these days it's more mobile games and stuff as well. So, I mean, the only one who doesn't make music for a living out of these four would be Jaron Tell. He works at Amazon these days, but he makes music as a side note, an occasional game back and forth as well. So
right.
But a good segue to our topic of this week is where we're going to talk about people that you know and kind of being starstruck and people like on the like winning competitions, being on stage, and does it impact and productions that because of the, how the demo scene is with voting that might lose, I say with air quotes, or not get the recognition they might deserve. So, or you feel that they maybe should have deserved more, like, and all these kind of things of like participating and being on stage. Have you ever been on stage at a demo party, receiving a prize?
No, I don't think so.
Well, the two parties that I have actually received something on were quite small parties. It was Data Storm and Sunrise.
It still counts.
Of course. That's good. So, yes, in that sense. And I mean, that at Sunrise, I came second after Hoffman. So that's a decent low.
It sometimes it gives that perspective of this is fair. Fair. Yeah. What is fair? I do air quotes a lot, which is super unhelpful for a podcast. But here you go. And Axel, never won anything, never been on stage?
No, I don't think I've ever. I mean, in the old days, it wasn't enough to get on stage for the first three places, but it was fun participating in those.
Music especially. It was always a battle to like win a prize, get to that. Because I remember the first time that I went on stage, I was like elated. It was so like the dream to be like, oh, I won my music. I won a thing. I wanted probably like, I don't know, like a can of sausages or like, well, back in the day, Dutch parties had some cash prizes. There was some, but it was like $20. Like it was this, but it was this whole, the vibe was like to, and especially because at Revision, I mean, I gave up. It was like that competitions, especially music competitions are so packed that just being in the merch is good enough. Like, I don't think it's the most important thing to win. I mean, the participation definitely is the most important part.
No, it was fun. And back in the old days, I mean, you didn't see really who was in the whole list. Like now you get home and you can see the full scale list of rankings and points and whatever. And back then you're just like, okay, out of these 100 songs that were played back in the day, so it's a couple of those few ranked and that's it. But you didn't really see the whole picture. It was just years later, basically, that I saw that who was in the same compo. I know, in that year, and that was quite scary to see these names in the same compos back then. So.
Did it ever matter to you guys? I guess that it didn't really matter. Just participating was probably more. But yeah, did it matter?
Not really. I mean, to be honest, I didn't actually compete in that many competitions back then. Possibly just three or four parties. I got disqualified from a party, though, Icing 1995, because of miscommunication within the organizing team. Because I was in touch with them beforehand, and I asked them, hey, for the chip music compo, can we use Music Line Editor? It's a different editor than ProTracker or whatever. And sure. They said, oh, it's completely okay. So me and my partner in crime, twins of Phenomena, did each one track, and it is a bit cheating to have a fully fledged synthetic engine running compared to a 1995 style chip module. So our mods were like 12 kilobytes or something like that, and others who really packed their mods in, they barely made 40, and the sound quality was just a bit too much. So yeah, they disqualified us.
Breaking the rules by being too technologically advanced, which sounds very un-demo scene, but also somehow very demo scene.
Yes.
Unfair indeed. And not, there should be a different compo for this, they said. And then they made it. So yeah, okay, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think I never got disqualified. I got not played a lot. Like, I mean, there was always pre-selection, and that's when I started doing like gimmicks. Because then you knew if it was funny to break up the compo and then gimmicks win. So that was also the reason to get, like, the way to get on stage was make something. Then there's like, especially in the late 90s, no disrespect, to the late 90s Dutch scene, but the music compo was like mostly trance and goa trance. And then I made something silly, and then people were like, oh, that silly song, I'll vote for that. And then you win, and then it's completely undeserved. And you shake the hand of the second place winner, who was like, yeah, great. And you can feel that.
Great, punched in the face.
That was a first place prize that I was, I even released it under a different nickname and a different group. It was just all fake. And then during the prize giving ceremony, it turned out to be that I won. And I was like, I don't even want to go to the stage because I'm so ashamed to pick a prize. No,
why did he's not here. Yeah.
Why did you use another name?
Because it wasn't really a serious song. It was just like, I made something. It wasn't
the time. What's serious and what's not? I mean, that's where things start, right? I mean, it's like writing music that is popular versus writing music that is art and classic music and just for the super, super elitist to know who exactly how complicated this is to play, but it's not sounding with the masses. And if you're doing something that is entertaining, it's like Spielberg said at some point that he needed to decide whether he directs films for the Oscars or for the people. And he decided to go with the people.
And people, it's a bit.
Why not?
I think it's
funny to always justify. Like I did it just for, you know, just for fun and for entertaining, and that I don't see that particularly to be bad.
Oh no!
But it's a common. I would probably do the same. Like I would be too scared releasing it on my own.
Oh, this is not because I would love my own name, but it was like back in the day at Dutch parties we had like a music compo and a house compo because house music was not music, and I thought it was ridiculous because it was like house would go in one compo and then everything else was in the music compo. So I made a song and it started like a Eurodance track, and then halfway in it switches to like hip hop beats and complete like utter different musical styles. I was like, do they even listen that far during pre-selection? And well, they played it, and because it was such a ridiculous song, it won. And it wasn't fair because it was literally just trying to prove a point, basically, that couple, because it's a ridiculous split. Why house? Why music? What's the distinction? And so I was like a fake name. I had gave it a ridiculously long title. It was just really like kind of trolling the compo. And that was the only song that stood out to people. So I won, which also showed it's kind of like, okay, so shake it. So maybe this is a terrible idea to just like make one compo for house. And it has like 9 similar sounding trance songs in it. And this horrible abomination I made. But it's a good point that you like you put a different name.
You need
on
to
it
stand
kind of
out in some way, I think. So if it's if it's a long name, if it's a funny song content, if it's a funny lyric, if it's whatever, I think the point is to stand out, and that's how you actually get noticed in the compo. Otherwise, you won't.
And nothing wrong with it as well. Like, there's nothing wrong with a good gimmick, and I think it's also something to drive on. But for me, it's always like giggling when I make music. And I can't wait to play it for my friends to see what their reaction is to the dumb thing I made. And I put a lot of time in the dumb thing. Like, the dumb thing is not necessarily bad. It's just a dumb thing. It's like, it's not a bad thing. It's just like, it's not easy, but it's just something I want, like, and especially, and also I did different names to like, you only were allowed one song per compo.
Uh-huh.
So I would just like have like different names.
Cheater. You
know, that's when Mr. Perfect shot, like, came up again. Sticks.
And I would just walk and like, sorry, you got sick. And he said, oh, no. But they're talking about like, but things that like, do you have any productions you feel like got lost in like, were like second or got lost in like a good compo and you feel like they should have gotten more recognition somehow?
To be honest, not really, but I'm still a bit, since I'm biased and everything, I'm still a bit annoyed about the fact that my old group, where I'm still a member, Razor 1911, one of the most, the best demos that we released was Voyage, and it only placed third. The bad problem was that it was in the same competition as Hardwired and Alcatraz's Odyssey.
So, which was an awesome competition to watch.
One of those combos.
It was absolutely mind-blowing.
Like, it's also, it's like, we only got third. We got third in that compo, which, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's also baffling that you had these compos, like, back in the day, you got, like, all these entries were in this. What the hell?
That was, like, the worst. In overall, it was, like, the music compo was similarly crazy with Codex. Participating and Nightlight and all those. I mean, Mantronic's Tip, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. But
it's like golden age. It's awesome.
Later on, I was going through the list, like, oh, God, oh, damn, oh, whoa, this Dexter. And then at some point, like, that was your name. On
but then
some
still,
point,
like, you were in with that crowd, which is awesome. Yeah. Like, I mean,
yeah, of course.
If it's a lot of good people making a lot of good stuff, that's the same that I had with the Amiga Demo Compo of 2019 at Revision. 2019, where it was like so many great demos all of a sudden coming out of the woodworks, and Eon won because there was TBL, yeah. But there was like so many, and I remember talking to the guys from Capsule from Spain who made Brutalism, which was a fantastic Amiga demo, and they got like their sixth, and it's like last year you would have won because there weren't like that many Amiga demos, and they were like, yeah, it's bizarre, like it seems like everybody came this year to like release something awesome, and they were happy that it was such a great compo, but they were kind of like, but yeah, and I felt that of like, shit, you made something, you thought like, ah, the Amiga compo the last few years of Revision hasn't been that great, so we'll just add some, like, and then all of a sudden there was this killer compo.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's like, I feel like, yeah, we should watch all these demos over and over.
I just feel sometimes, often I thought about still productions, like Pixter's stuff that he released at Evoke. Like, I'm so amazed by his work and or the whole group, actually. And I always think, like, it doesn't even in the slightest get the recognition it should. Like after the party, like, you know, it doesn't like grow and become like classics or whatever. I just think it's so awesome. Like even the last release that they had this year.
I think some actually like have impact the Revision demo from last year. I mean, it's, but they make a lot and it's very different and it's always really profound. I think it's, there's a few groups that have that problem when they make something that is just like needs to land.
Yeah, it's with them. I feel like it's like this, you know, designed art stuff that, you know, all the designers in the scene or all the those who wonder about it, they get it and they go like, oh my God, this is crazy. But the mass, you know, I think it just like it doesn't click completely with them, and that's, I always think, oh my God, what a shame. And
yeah, your favorite designer's favorite demo group. It's like making.
Yeah, it's.
And as you said, like making for the masses, making for specific people. I think they always have these people that are like, always like, I think there's merit to all of it. And I think you don't have to appeal to masses, but for demo party where there's voting and there's like prizes, it is that like you choose the steel route and you probably won't win because something with like air horns will blow it away. But I picked this and we're going to talk, like we have a great interview coming up with two people that have dealt bit like creativity and mainstream appeal. I'm not going to say who yet. You have to wait for that. Or as if we might have already told it in the intro that it's Hoffman and Kiro.
No, I didn't.
If only we didn't.
No, I did. Cut this out. No. but it's talking about like participating and what is your plan when you set out to enter a competition? Do you do it for you? Do you do it for the compo? Do you do it for the prizes? Do you do it for the gimmicks like I do? Absolutely, 100% honest. I just want to make the crowd giggle or be baffled like I did with my demo at Evoke. Did I tell you guys that I made a demo at Evoke?
Yeah, we've heard some rumors about that. Yeah.
Still laugh that the reaction was like mostly confused, which is like, that's great. Like it's, and I think that is like everybody has their motivator. And I feel like when you make something, you enter in a compo, like we talked about these like winner riddled compos. A 64K compo Revision 2015, where Approximate shows up with a fantastically lovely little demo with a heartfelt story, but then has to duke it out with Mercury and Conspiracy. And it's just kind of going like, this is kind of unfair. Like, does it get the recognition? Go watch all those 64Ks again, by the way. Like, go back a lot. Like, go to the fourth and fifth and sixth place and go watch them.
Hmm.
So I think talking about this kind of thing, let's go talk to these people and hear their opinions, not see them because it's a podcast. Their opinions on what it's like to make stuff and get recognition and then maybe have to outdo yourself. And how do you motivate yourself when you've done so much? So So we're going to talk about creativity in competitions, voting, how voting and winning competitions might have impact, and what does it actually do to us as creative people in the demo scene. And I'm here joined today by two people that people might know. Hoffman of Unstable Label, but also part of Logicoma, and has done music for many, many groups now. Basically rejoined the demo scene about a decade ago.
Yeah. 2010 was pretty much it. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. And Kido of Elude and Mad Wizards, also very active for a long time in the demo scene. And yeah, we want to just like kind of talk to you guys about like the like participating competitions, winning, and what that brings with it. So maybe first a little bit of history where you guys come from.
So I joined scene pretty late when Amiga scene was kind of like already diminishing, turning into mostly PC. It was around 2000. And immediately like started I joined pretty active groups. So we started to churn demos like year after year, sometimes two demos a year. It was easy when you are a student, you have a lot of time to burn. And yeah, we burned a lot of time on that. There came some popularity. We took some, places on the podium on different parties in Poland first, then international. And the rest is history. I don't know what to say.
And from Ian, sorry.
Yeah, because first it was like a bit smaller group, but which you didn't mention because initially I was in Appendix demo group.
My apologies.
It was, they were mostly active on the Polish scene, I think. And then because I had some Mad Wizards guys in the city I lived, they kind of hijacked me by announcing that I'm leaving Appendix, which I was not planning to do, but it kind of happened.
Wow. So this brute force joining of Mad Wizards, that is.
Yeah, hot set, I'll go take over.
All right, awesome. And Hoffman, a brief history of Hoff. Where do you come from?
Try and do the abridged version. So I got involved with the demo scene when the Amiga was kind of new. Back in those days, you'd meet up with, people who owned the same computer as you in your hometown, and we discovered demos, and we just kind of each one of us decided to pick something to do. So one guy was like the graphic artist, another guy was the coder, and I was the one that wanted to do the music. We all met up there. And then throughout the 90s, kind of, flitted around a bunch of groups. Was one of the original members of Mono, the mod releasing group. And kind of like flitted around a bit until about 2000 or 2001, something like that. And then left around then to kind of focus on like DJing and stuff like that. And then got an invite to Sundown by RC55 in 2010. And then met a lot of people who knew who I was, which was really weird, but like really cool. And like really just like that day was just like a massive reigniting for me of like the love of the demo scene and making stuff. So that was basically the turning point. After that, I was like, so how do I get to Europe to go to a demo party? How do we do this? Let's go out there and throw myself into it. That's where my journey is.
So a comeback, and what a comeback it was. I think you immediately kind of dominated Revision as well. Or did you in the first year? I don't even remember.
So that was the first time I'd ever left England to go to a demo party was Revision. I wasn't really a coder then, wasn't really in any groups. So I just, they had a trap music competition. I'm like, well, that's kind of that was my thing anyway. So that was so that's kind of where all that kind of came from, really. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, so thank you for your little bit of history. So yeah, I want to talk about like the aspect of making stuff. And as we've both heard, like you guys have been active for a while. As Kira already said, been on stages a few times. And I wonder, like, what is the impact like for you to create first? Or is it also a little bit like we're going to win this? I want to be on that stage.
So initially it was mostly creative part because I was doing like graphics programming on Amiga. I don't know, maybe 10 years before Demoscene. So I was then fascinated in actually created something that has visual output impact on you, you know, that you can appreciate something that you actually created. The competition was not very important. But once you join and actually people kind of appreciate what you are doing, I think that fuels, you know, this competing part of Demoscene. When things start to actually click, at least for me, when they started to actually work, you know, people started to appreciate what I'm doing, that amplified, you know, this competing part of Demoscene for me. Not initial, like, it was not the initial thing that why I joined.
And in a positive way, it give you a positive, or was there also kind of a negative connotation, or like, I have to better myself, what if I let people down?
That is kind of both. There was a like period when I was on Amiga scene, especially when we kind of started to visit bigger parties in Germany, like Breakpoint, Mega Symposium. There was a time that I felt that when we didn't release something each year, basically, right? It was like I had this stupid feeling that, yeah, we are letting people down. Yeah. Because it was, yeah, I don't know how to say it, but we had this kind of like celebrity complex that, yeah, if we are not going to do something, the Demoscene is going to die, you know? I'm exaggerating, right? But
I like that. I like that.
To a little bit, yeah.
It's a good insight. I think it's like, we're very humble, and I think it's good. Like, I can understand that you feel like if we don't make something, what will the compo be? And it also might be a lot of pressure.
It was, okay, because in Poland, the scene was kind of dying off after the biggest parties that we had when I was not on the scene yet. So I kind of joined when the Polish demo scene was kind of fading out, at least a little bit. So we had the parties where there are, well, I don't know, maybe like 2-3 demos. So there was actually a bit of pressure, but mostly put, we did that to ourselves, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. You are young and stupid and you are not thinking reasonably oftentimes.
I find it interesting because it does have impact on how you would perceive making a demo, like that you put that extra layer in of like, what if we don't deliver at the next breakpoint? What will people think? And like, Hoffman, is that something for you as well when you bring something to a party?
A bit. I'm more of I'm kind of in competition with myself more than anything else. So you'll notice that, I've obviously done a lot of the tracked music competitions. And there's like, actually, if you look at revision in particular, anyway, if you look at like each year of those, like there's like a competition against myself to better what I came with last year. So like, obviously we get to the point where I didn't do anything in that competition for like a few years because I was thinking, well, kind of focusing on other stuff anyway, like working on demos with Ferris and Wobble and or maybe doing something else or whatever. But like if I don't have like an idea of where I want it to go or how it's gonna like somehow be different or whatever from like the last thing I've done within that category, then like I don't wanna just kind of turn up with something like half-assed, I think is probably the thing. Cause, you know, I guess there's, you know, I suppose in a way there is like an expectation, like if I'm at this point now where like if I'm going to bring something to a music competition, like is it, you know, is there an expectation there of what's going to happen? But then also I've got a thing of like, I get quite easily distracted with new stuff that I've not done before. I think that's a really big driver for me as well. Like if it's like finding something else to do on like a new platform or whatever, that's where like a lot of my driving force for like being creative on something comes from. It's like, you know, like doing stuff on the Plus 4, whether you've got like two channels, like it's horrific. Absolute, you know, but, that's where that kind of challenge comes in. So that's where my drivers kind of come from, I think, mostly.
Technical, yeah. So that aspect of indeed bettering yourself. Mm. But also, as you say, like when I bring something, is it going to be good? I think that it has that aspect. I think that's something when you've been at a party a few times or you've won, like you've been on the stage a few times. And I was wondering, like, is that perspective, does that give you like a different perspective of like, oh, I'm disappointed if I'm not on the stage, even if you don't really want to admit it to yourself?
Oh, no, I mean, to be fair, there's been a few. I think what is the Nova this year. So this is a pretty good example where I've been working on some other stuff anyway, like non-demo scene related stuff. So my focus has been completely elsewhere, and then I realized it's like a week before the party. So I kind of slammed together an Amiga demo using the Rose engine and like some techno tracks that I wrote in a couple of nights. And I kind of like, I was like happy with it. And like, no, this is good. But like, you know, compared to like the other stuff that I've done within that, it's, you know, it wasn't anywhere near as good. At least from my perspective, but it was like, because that is the party that I help organize, like I feel that it's important to, even if it is a bit of a compo filler, to try and bring something anyway. So I'm not, you know, there is that kind of, when you're putting the full effort in, like you really want to like go the extra mile, you know, spend, you know, several weeks or months even like beforehand, you know, building some new tech or doing something else, like to really drive something maybe a bit new or a bit fresher. But then at the same time, I've got some tools anyway. So if we just want to bring a little something, then, you know, we can just like play with that for a couple of weeks and then arrive with something. So I'm kind of happy to do both, really. But yeah, it's the bigger projects are the ones that, like, you know, they really interest me. So
yeah, that makes, I can understand that. But it's like, it kind of gives that, you are kind of already doubting, like, should I bring this because people might expect something else? And that kind of might put a damper on the whole, let's make something, let's bring something to this party aspect.
Yeah.
It also has this like bit weird aspect that if you are working on something for a pretty long time and it's not kind of finished, it's not quite finished to the level of polish that you would like it to be, you have this feeling, am I burning it on this party by releasing it, right? Or I'm just going to wait a year. That happened for us during a few bigger projects. With smaller ones, it's, yeah, you don't care that much, right? But with the bigger ones, there was often that feeling.
I can imagine that it's, are we doing this now? Are we comfortable with it yet? Or shall we wait? Which is then also a disappointment, of course, because then you can't release.
It is a disappointment, I think, on both sides, because if you wait for like three or four months on the production, right?
Yes.
You are tired as hell. I guess we are not cursing here.
We tried to keep it brief, else Shana gets very sad and she has to put a rating on the podcast on Spotify.
So, you know, you already burned like 3 months on this thing. And now is this tough decision if you are going to release it and have fun at the party, because sitting at the party and enjoying the production, that was always the biggest thing for me. I don't remember 20 years ago, but for the last few years, it was mostly just sitting and enjoying the production with the crowd. It was not about winning.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Like, there have been a couple of instances where I've turned up at a party with something that's half finished. I spent the first half of the party trying to get it finished, and like the big thing for me going to a demo party is going to see all my friends, like, and hanging out with them and watching productions together and talking about them. you know. So like, yeah, so it's, I've got kind of almost got a rule now where like I, you know, if I'm working on a production, say with Logic Homer, like I want my bit to be finished before we get there, if we can.
Ferris can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, Ferris can do whatever he wants. It's fine. If he wants to sit there and code for the next, like, you know, day and a half, then by all means. But yeah, so that's you know, I'm totally with you there. I just, you know, I'd rather just go and enjoy myself, you know. You spend all that time kind of before a party, maybe making something, or even not making something, or even just turning up to the party. You know.
Does you know, that happen, though, not making something?
Yeah, it can do, yeah. I mean, I think for Evoke, the year that we all came down, Logic Homer came down, I suppose we didn't necessarily make something, but Ferris did spend quite a lot of time like working on the visual stuff that was part of our DJ set. So yeah. So like in that respect, like I'm coming to the party, I'm still contributing something. So yeah. If it's a live set, then that's fine. It doesn't necessarily have to be a release.
It's a demo, but contribution is important.
Yeah, I mean it feels like it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So same for you, Kiro. Like you feel like you have to come. You can't come empty-handed.
I think we skipped maybe for like 20 years when I was coming to Breakpoint Revision on Mecca. I think we didn't have something for maybe one year or two. I don't remember. And also I was there for almost every year. So that's quite an Easter tradition for me, right? But yeah, it was always like having something to bring with you. It gives you like this topic to talk about with people and it boosts the enjoyment.
Yeah, it's important. And it's actually a nice time because also kind of wanted to, because I remember from the Breakpoint years and you were making demos and there was a lot of times that you were second place. And we always had like, oh,
most of the time.
And it's like, I don't know if you like that. If you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. But it was like that.
No. I absolutely don't have a problem with either talking about it or me being second. So.
But because I think it's off like in the last few years, like you've been making extremely fantastic stuff and on PC as well. Like, I mean, you keep going, but how do you say this? Did that make you more like competitive of like, God damn it, next year I'm gonna win this? Did that, like, I was always wondering because it felt like people kind of felt kind of bad. It's like, oh, Kiro, second again. And it was a fantastic demo. And then I remember it was a revision when you're in a TBL showed up. And like, that's just unfair. So I wonder, like, did that give you extra pushes? Is that like, or was it like, it's fine. Like, we were second place. We made a fantastic thing.
It was once that when we didn't have a demo, I think, and TBL released something like a bit subpar for the level, and we were kind of regretting, that would be the year, you know?
Exactly. I can still imagine that.
But I would rather really be second and losing to the better production than winning with something like poor competition.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like I
really don't have a problem being second, right? Okay, it would be cool to be first, but...
Yeah, that's the thing. If the winning production is, you know, you watch it and go, well, that you know, it's fair play. That is,
yeah.
Exactly. I loved watching that. That was amazing. I'm going to go talk to them now and say how amazing it was. Like, it's still, you know, it's kind of it ends up being a win-win, doesn't it? Like, you're not okay. You may not be first place, but you know, it's fair game when you actually look at the production and go, well, yeah. That's like, it was great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
That sounds like the most important part. I think, it's nice to hear. And I think it's also for new people that are listening, newbies that are worried about like, I can't compete. Because that's always the question. Like, how do I compete with? Like, well, just make something. In the end, we all do it to share productions to each other. But yeah, it is. I've always heard like, it's also something maybe... For that, then people start expecting things. We talked about it a little bit before. People start posting like, "Oh, but when will you do sequel to X? Or when will you do this again?" Mm. How do you feel about that if that happens?
It's not really happened to me, I don't think.
I don't know really. Maybe among some friends in like private talks, but Maybe because we were releasing like year after year. So there was no, people were kind of expecting that we are going to release that rather than not release stuff, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Or maybe that's true actually for you guys. Mm. Yeah.
I suppose to be fair, we'd once Logic Omer started doing the 64Ks on a fairly regular basis, there was, you know, it would like come up to revision and people would like start messaging me going, if you guys got something, and I said, well, I can neither confirm nor deny whether we are working on something because if we don't make it, we don't want to disappoint anyone. So you don't want to tell people you are working on something and then just actually go, well, actually this isn't working. So, I suppose that actually there's usually Dan from, Lemon. We usually have a little bit of a chat before revision to find out who may whether we might be like in the same competition again. In private, I guess it's a little bit of like, you know, we might say, you know, we'll let each other know that we're working on something, but, you know, we won't necessarily go off and like publicize it and stuff. But that's more just kind of like, you know, on a friendly basis anyway, you know.
Yeah, like friendly competition. It's a friendly ribbing basically of can we expect something, because you'd also be excited to see something from your friends, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like yeah.
It can also boost your motivation sometimes when you know that your arch nemesis is going to do something.
Do you have an arch nemesis?
No.
We'll leave it at that.
But if you can confirm this, apparently I'm Ace Man's arch nemesis.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Maybe he said something like this.
But let's make this something to get into this scary territory. There is this problem of like when you make something and then the year after there's people's like the copycats is maybe a mean word, but like people doing the thing you did. I think for Hoffman, we had a music compo, which I remember very well because they didn't put the names on the screen and I was sitting together with Gargai. And every song, we're like, ah, this is Hoffman. And then the next song, no, this is Hoffman. And then the next song, no, this is Hoffman. And we're like, okay, so a lot of people did the Hoffman. Like, yeah, is that charming to you? Or is it kind of like,
It was, I had a massive grin on my face watching the chat scroll through for that one. I thought it was hilarious. I think there wasn't necessarily I wouldn't call it a copycat. I think the thing is that I'd got really into glitch hop. And it was like, it was a fairly emergent genre of dance music at the time. Mm-hmm. So like I kind of got into it and that was really what I was really, really into. And obviously a bunch of other artists were also really into it that year. So we ended up with like a lot of tracks that kind of, you know, they're about the same BPM, got that same kind of shuffle swing to them.
And I want to say before people get mad at me, like no disrespect, like it was a fantastic compo and I get it because you kind of try to do what somebody inspires you to do. No negative thing about it, but it was just very funny to see that people were going like, oh, this is the Hoffman track.
it was hilarious.
Yeah. I think most of us have someone in the scene that you either strive to kind of reach the similar level of like skill, right? Yeah. Or you are inspired by someone, either like by style or by technical aspect of, you know, even technical aspect of the music, right?
Yeah.
Because you did quite a lot of like synth-based stuff on Amiga, which was not really that common except of AHX. Like not novel, music synthesis. I think that kind of inspired a lot of people to also try this.
Yeah. And I love that, though. I love that giving that like energy back and people being... Because for you, who is an example for you guys, if you want to say? It's just interesting to hear this kind of like, who would you look up to and say, I'm going to compete against you. I want to be as good as you are.
I like Kira go first. I think.
If it's difficult, then don't worry.
It is difficult, but not that difficult. Actually, when I was doing like Amiga demos, at some point it was people on the PC scene that were kind of an inspiration, because you can actually borrow now it's harder and harder because the PC hardware is so immensely faster. It was not as much at some point in time. but you could borrow ideas. And there were people doing insane stuff that you could try to do something similar on Amiga. So I really like admired a lot of people on PC scene.
I love that. I love that of like, I see you do this and I'm bringing it to my platform.
Obviously massively simplified, right?
But it's a great motivation to try to do it on my platform. I love that. I think that's such a demo scene way of thinking of like, I love what you guys are doing. I want to do it, but on my platform, see how far I get. And then you got really far.
Yeah, I don't think it's unique, right? Because also people on the C64 demo scene, they are looking at Amiga productions.
Yeah.
I get that with a lot with the music that I listen to. So it's not necessarily influences within the demo scene, but it'll be like certain styles of music that I've come across that I'm like kind of into. And then like the challenge becomes, can you make that kind of sound or that kind of music like on an Amiga? Can you do that within like 32K? Or, you know, can you do it on a PC in 32K? So it's that kind of, you know, trying like getting an influence from somewhere else and going, well, yeah, let's see if we can squeeze that into this tiny box, but, you know, still like keep that essence of it. So on the musical side, that's the thing that I've, you know, kind of really drives kind of, you know, stuff that I like to tinker with. So
we were often lost in this like pursuit of PC style effects.
Yeah.
To the point that our demos were running way too slow. But that's not always because you set your goal too high, like goalpost too high. It was mostly time constraints when you knew how to do some stuff, but deadlines have deadlines, and we know how things end, right?
So yeah, and to come back to that deadlines and competition, I think that is that aspect of wanting to compete with each other. Do you guys get compo angst? Like that you're, when you enter it and the compo goes on and you're nervous, when you've done it over and over?
Always. It never changes. It never goes away. It is literally your heart is in your throat for the whole duration of your production being on the big screen or the sound system or whatever.
It's exactly the same for me.
Yeah. Especially if it's a demo, you're like, please don't crash. Please don't crash.
Is it part of the experience as well? Is it part of like having that extra layer of fear? Because we at the demo scene love to add layers of difficulty to things. As you just said, music, smaller, older computers. Let's just try this because that somehow is the core of the demo scene. I can do this. Yeah. Does that help you as well? Is it kind of an extra layer of excitement to enter something and be that nervous?
It's a big driver. I mean, you know, the excitement, I mean, it's terrifying and exhilarating in equal measure. The first time I was ever in a music competition, which probably back in the 90s somewhere, it was really exciting just to like hear like everyone like cheer afterwards. And it's like, it is really addictive. Like you're like, oh, well, I want to let's do some more then. So.
Yeah, but I think I could live without the anxiety coming from, you know, is my production going to crash or not? That part I could gladly, skip, you know?
Yeah. It's so incredibly self-imposed and so incredibly terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest anxiety I think was, was it 2020 when we were working on Way Too Rude and the deadline was like 10 minutes away and the demo was basically crashing at about the 2 minute mark, like on real hardware at my house, like this is not running. So I had to cap in hand upload a broken executable with a note to saying it's finished, I just need to fix this so that it actually runs. So, and I think I got to bed about 4 a.m. So,
but that was still before, that was like at the actual deadline. And not
yeah, yeah, many yeah, people have never seen deadlines those, and deadlines.
The real deadline.
Yeah.
But also, that is
a benefit. That's one of the benefits. Sorry, that's one of the benefits that if you are kind of like known on the scene, that gives you some like, you know, bonus points when dealing with the organizers and other people.
Literally, wanted to ask that because like, is that something that you feel like, oh, we'll enter a broken executable, we'll be fine. Also confident you can fix it, but also no, because it's us and they want us in the compo. Does that is that kind of like nice that it comes with the fame, as we call it?
Yeah, it is nice. But you sometimes become reliant on this because we didn't even often like submit like broken executable. We just kept on, you know, working on the production like few hours after the deadline when it was like, okay, guys, this is really the deadline. Yeah. No, I mean, this is the deadline. Right? And I was like often visiting the recording room revision or track point. Just delivering the production, by myself because the system was closed.
This is one of the benefits. USB stick, like here it is.
We did the golden stick.
Because that is also the double-edged sword of indeed wanting to have that entry, but also having to kind of stick to the rules. Like there is rules for a reason, and it gets sometimes. I think usually parties, except for revision, because they're on such a tight schedule, they really have to like know what comes in. If the bigger the party, the smaller the party, the easier it is. The bigger the party, the more difficult it is. But yeah, I want to talk kind of about like if you then win a few compos and you're on stage, and then there's a little bit of the fame. Does that impact on you feel how your productions are perceived, like name voting and stuff like that? And does that bother you, or how does that work? How do you feel about it?
I think it doesn't happen nowadays, not often. I mean, name voting at least. I think it was rampant in like olden days when people voted for the names. I hope it's not happening.
Well, if you feel like that, I mean, it's fair. Like, I mean, if it's your perception that it doesn't seem to happen, I'm not entirely sure if it does. I feel like people get excited when they see a name and it might skew in a certain way.
I suppose, yeah, you could have that, what's it, confirmation bias? I don't know if that's the right term. Yeah. So I suppose you, I get that with certain artists, but when I listen to like music competitions and stuff, you know, like Laguba pops up as like, right, well, you know, like already I'm like, well, we're in. Okay. or, you know, Mig or Ace Man, you know, if they're in the trap music compo, then I know like, you know, and Subby and, you know, all these other people that, you know, I really, but I appreciate their releases anyway. So yeah, like I'm like, I will get like, I'll get excited for what's about to happen. So and that might color my decisions. I don't know, but, you know, at the same time, I try and be as like, as fair as possible, you know? So, but not, at least when I'm doing it, if people are name voting for me, then, you know, I have no idea.
Fair to say, like, we try to be as unbiased as possible, but there might be some unknown. And when you see a name on the screen, you go like, ooh, which also might be, like, there's people.
It's one of the ways to optimize your production, you know, for the votes. Because names are one part, maybe, of it. You can, like, put a huge credit list, right? But there are other ways to optimize for the first place, like music that kind of works with half drunk people. And,
you know. Oh, that's crowd pleasing.
Yeah. This is absolutely like, I think, key. If you are trying to win, you can optimize not on the technical level, but on like the social.
It happened.
I suppose, you've kind of touched on something there because, you know, I've always, at least when I'm trying to make demos, have gone for more. I wouldn't say that I've necessarily gone for something crowd pleasing, but that's just kind of, that's the stuff that I like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from a creative standpoint, you know, I kind of end up kind of heading towards that way. But at the same time, it's like, it's nice to, you know, try and throw off that shackle a bit and, you know, throw a curveball here and there to, you know, see, you know. And that's kind of exciting as well. Like, will that work? Will it not work? Will it tank? You know? So that's kind of a fun part of it as well.
And I loved it, indeed, the crowd, because it did happen. I mean, there's several parties that were won, demos won, that people later were like, in a there is no perfect world, but this maybe shouldn't have won, which I always think is like when the results are final, it's what the results are. Mm-hmm. And everything is justified because of all the reasons. Indeed, if it is social, at that moment, people loved it. Fair. What yeah. can we do? That's the rules of the game.
Yeah, I think there's a really good example of that in the, I think, you know, most of the time when I see like the results of a demo party, because I'd, you know, go back and watch them and, you know, watch the productions and stuff if I've not been there, and go and have a dig, see what's there. And there was a really odd, like, and it's funny, like the aftermath that you end up like in the on like Poe or whatever, like when the kind of the court of public opinion kind of comes in afterwards. There's a really interesting one where I think Cocoon released, was it a Deadline, a new Amiga 500 demo?
Yeah.
And like, I was really excited because, you know, I love Amiga 500 demos and I love Cocoon. So it's like, well, there's two of my favorite things together. So so I went to watch it and I got the binary and watched it and was like, oh, this is, you know, it's a little short, but it's, you know, I really like this. This is great. And then I was like, well, hang on, it's second place. So what beat this? And I was like, I went and downloaded the demo and like, the scroller was slightly broken on my 600 and I was like, it's a single screen. I was like, how did this, like, from my perspective, I was like, how did that happen?
For like, outsiders, that's always the, like, what was the crowd? And that's the crowd. And I think it's an important aspect of live voting. Like, we've had parties with jury voting. I don't know, what would you guys prefer? Like, a jury that goes and analyzes every production and says, this is the best on merit, or just the crowd going, bah, X.
Yeah, I think I'd much rather have the crowd just going, always. Because, you know, I mean, you know, if we take, it's nice when you do get like a slightly less obvious choice coming to the top. I mean, we can, we can talk about certain demos with teeth.
Well, it's something I wanted to touch on. Actually, a good point, because I wanted to touch on that of like, because it's always about like making the best thing you can make and making what you want to make and making something funny. And actually all, I think Space Pigs is a prime example of playing the crowd, being really good at it, but then also having kind of the joke aspect. And I sometimes feel like, is it like,
I mean, you can't deny like the creative and technical aspects of those productions.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
Like, absolutely. You can't, like they're there. I mean, whether you like it or not is another matter entirely. And you know, at the party, after everyone's had a few beers, they found it quite funny. So like, you know, it's kind of a fun film.
I think people have biggest problem when you have like strictly technical production, which is competing and losing against something that looks like a joke project.
Yeah.
Or maybe not a joke, you know, like a total joke, but yeah, it's made maybe not by design to win, but for some reason it does win, right? It happened a few times. And sometimes I think that is a bit unfair. But yeah, fairness is, as you said,
it comes in waves, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do we feel that's acceptable? Like, do we feel like indeed, because I've had that same, like, oh, this demo is like, and especially if I don't know a platform, like, because I'm dumb and old computers are not my forte. So I look at something and I can now, in my decades in the scene, realize this isn't that big effort. I can see this. But if I don't get it, it's harder for people to judge. Mm. Do you think that if people might not enter something because they're afraid that people won't get it and then they might not, like, do you think, does it impact you guys when you make something really technical, like, will people get it?
It is something that I think happened with Wild Compass. People were, from what I was like talking about with others, they didn't want to participate in Wild competitions because of what you said, that the audience is not going to get the production, the effort that goes into it. So Wild Compo was like, yeah, it's cool to participate with some like handmade hardware or whatever, but you are being thrown into this huge pile of random stuff and you just count on people to get it, right? To read the description on the screen and actually know what that means.
Really fast. And that is all kind of, when it's all platforms, all kind of 8-bitty or 16-bitty, and it's like, how do I stand out? Yeah, no, fair, yeah, absolutely.
So I honestly know people that actually withdrew, didn't decide to participate in the in the competitions at the party because there was no dedicated category for their system, right?
Yeah. It makes me sad because that's for me because I'm just like, I'm a glutton. I just want everybody to enter their cool stuff. I mean, so I feel like it's this RD's like arbitrary-ish kind of reasons that we have, like also maybe holding us back a little bit. Like we are mindful of what the reaction might be. We don't really want to enter just to show our demo, but also want people to get it and kind of vote for us.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's hard to know whether... I mean, everyone that I speak to is fairly clued up on, you know, what the limitations are of, you know, however many platforms you've got. But I think the true testament to a demo is that if you enjoy it, regardless of the technical aspect of it, like, you know, that's for me like the winning formula, isn't it? Like, you know, whether I understand the technicality of it, if it made me feel good, then I'm giving it 5 stars.
Yeah. So, I like that. I think that's the way, like vote from the soul, basically. Like, from the heart. Like it's what we feel about. And it can be somebody, because that's always indeed, it's kind of what I want to, with this conversation, let new people know is like there is always a fear. Competition never gets easier. And it also don't be discouraged. Like you don't immediately have to be the best. And it's also people came from anywhere. And it's also like it's always coloring it. But in the end, that's also what makes it kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, this is like personal. If you are easily discouraged, because it takes a lot of like I don't know. Effort is not the word. Willpower to actually start participating in such competitions, right? Yeah. Stop being outsider and actually submit something for people to judge. That's not the easiest thing to do, especially if you are a newcomer without a batch of friends that kind of you know back you up and cheer you up. No matter what happens, right? That's really a lot of effort to convince yourself that you want to do it. So
yeah, it's quite a brave thing to do as well, isn't it? Just to like, I made a thing and now I'm going to let other people look at it, score it, and then comment it on it online.
What I touched on in a previous episode is like having that step, and I'm as a party goer sometimes more excited for that new person because I know that they're scared to do this, and I'm so happy they did. But it's also like that everybody, no matter how long you've been doing this, is just as scared basically to enter something. With some privilege of releasing after the deadline, and we all know what the real deadline is, and a revision is until chaos gets really angry.
I've been on the other side of that anyway. Running Nova, it's like I'm chasing after people and like they're like, oh, we're not quite finished yet. It's like, that's fine. I've seen we've got this number of productions in this category. I'm recording the other 7 at the moment. We've still got time.
Yeah.
when I run out of stuff to record, I will be back.
I love that's also the part of like being supportive until like that at one point there is that leverage and I wonder like because you guys like you make a lot and like you participate are there things you made that scored lower than you wanted and how big a deal was that for you?
I was kind of thinking about this earlier, like if stuff does score lower, it's usually for good reason. Like there are, you know, like I don't want it to sound weird, but it's like, you know, the other productions that I've seen or music entries or whatever, you know, I look at them and go, well, yeah, they were blatantly better than what I arrived with today. So, and that's fine. You know, sometimes it is like, as I was saying earlier, like you have a bit of a punt, like maybe you've got something in the back that you haven't really, you know, you're fine. You'll have an entry, so you'll have something to submit. You know, so you're kind of participating. So I'm happy with that. And it's not
it's not, as I was saying, it's like, for me, it's not a drive to always get first place. It's either a drive to participate and just come with something that, you know, might be enjoyable for a bit, or it's a drive to better something else that I've done previously. Like, can I do something, you know, is there something interesting to do there? So yeah, it's not, thankfully, it's like, I'm not worried about kind of positions where stuff comes in. It's it's all about the moment of watching it on the screen. Right. and how exciting
after the compo, right?
Yeah, after the compo.
That's the best. That's the best part. One of the best parts. But yeah, sometimes we kind of felt that we could do better, but we had like this, few years that we were kind of doing the same stuff over and over again, like similar style. And I simply knew why we were getting like second or lower places, because it was the same stuff all over again. Even if you had some technicalities hidden between, you know, this epic music and scenes and whatever, if you just looked at the big picture, it was same stuff over again. And that's not the way to win parties. You have to innovate. You have to do something new. And yeah, you are not just winning on technical aspect of it. That's certain, right? You can feel bad about it, but that's how it looks
like. Because that's always the thing, isn't it? It's like when you're watching a compo, like the things that are doing, even the demos that are not necessarily technically like advanced, if they're doing something different, they've got like a different style, or you know, there's just something about them, you know, like there's a narrative or something, you know, they're the kind of ones that kind of, at least in my mind, they like, they're the ones that kind of grab your attention, aren't they? So
yeah, it's about attention, right? Because if you release a demo that looks very similar to what you did last year, they will be fine.
it gets noticed. And do you think, speaking about also like competitions and like attention, and people lose attention because compos can be really long, and do you think playing order, like parties try to be, not put everything that's really good at the end because it kind of taints it? What is your opinion on that?
Like, break point and revision parties, you mean?
Yeah,
PC demo competitions.
It's always a really difficult trade-off for like keeping something cool for the end and also not really wanting the last demo is the winner. Like, that is always such a, as a compo organizer, terrible to have that, to make that playlist.
It's hard. I can tell you it's hard.
Now you're from both sides as organizer as well. Of course, you've had to do it and make that choice.
Yeah, yeah.
How conscious is that?
So I think, you know, we at least I prefer it to be like, especially at our party anyway, because it's quite small. So you're not talking like 20 to 40 PC demos. You know, each demo competition block is probably going to have 8, maybe 10 or 12 at tops. So you can run that in like, you know, from start to finish, it's probably going to last 45 minutes to an hour at tops. That's usually like the nice, that's like the sweet spot for like a competition to run, because then like every 50-minute break, you'll have a break and everything. But yeah, we always try and like crescendo them so that you kind of, we'll try and pick like the if we're like, well, these like are the top two or three, and we probably can't really call which one's better than the other, then we'll just kind of throw them in some sort of order and let the crowd decide. But it's when you're talking about that kind of time frame, then it's kind of nicer to like make sure that you do build stuff up. I personally think anyway. So it just kind of gets the excitement going. So
yeah, on smaller parties it's easier, right? Well, as you said, if you have like below 10 productions per competition, that's much easier to stomach than having 20 or 30.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I think that's how it is, because like the bigger parties are like a victim of their success. You cannot do much when you have that much of so many of the productions. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would like to see the better productions earlier and just to leave the hall finally.
Because that is the thing, it's a burden of their own ask again of like, you get like Revision is super happy, especially the bigger parties have 27 PC demos.
Yeah.
I think those times are kind of over, but it's still like, it's such a, and like endurance for the people. Exactly. So,
yeah, yeah. Imagine if one year Revision just did it in reverse, put all the great demos at the start.
Yeah, because also, what you also don't want to happen is that people just come in like an hour later because all the shit demos are first. And it's so mean to people that have something in that first block. Like, you want to celebrate everybody's demo. And it's a conundrum there of like, of our own making.
Yeah.
Because we also want to end on high.
Funny story, a friend of mine who once won, I think it was Breakpoint, because he thought that his production is going to be much later, he went to the toilet and missed his entry. Oh, no. And he won.
Oh, that's the worst.
So many levels, a fantastic story, because it says so much, and I so get it. Like, I'm not going to be shown yet. I'm going to the bathroom now. You come back, your demo was just played. Oh, my God. Like, this is...
Oh. Yeah, do you imagine spending like 3 to 5 months working on something and then you miss it at the party?
Yeah.
But if I enter something, I'm at that compo, like nervous. Not leaving.
Until
I'm not played, because that's usually what happens to me in the music compo at Revision. Also, that is like music competitions at Revision. Streaming music is like 80 entries.
But that's fine. I think music and graphics are a bit different category because it's now popular that they are kind of shown, they can be shown or played in kind of a background, especially on the outside speakers or something like this. So this is not as, you know, straining as,
For musicians, it can be, because it can be the only competition you participate in and it's still just as exciting. But I do agree.
I also get the idea that if you like have 20 or 30 pieces of music, right? And we didn't have these online apps that you could vote in real time. A lot of good stuff was lost in the process. Yeah.
So it's too much.
Now I think it's much easier to remember the good stuff and immediately like rate it. So it's
you end up giving a lot of people 5 stars. This was great, 5. This is also great, 5.
it's the halfway through the compo where you decide to regrade all of your previous votes.
Shall I go back?
Fair enough.
And I think it's the bane of the music compo is that, especially Revision and Breakpoint before, got so many entries that also pre-selection took 4 hours. And it's just so much music. And at one point, you just don't know anymore. Like, you can't, like, also you can't play like 40 songs because it just becomes everything.
There's the level of fatigue for the compo and the people that have to organize it, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and that's something so as subjective as music, which is also like, what kind of, okay, we have X songs of this genre, we only pick, there's no way to really grade that. It's the hardest compo to actually pre-select for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but it's still pre-selected, right? Demos are not pre-selected. I think no coded productions are pre-selected, right?
Rarely. I think if it's rarely, I can't remember when there was too many demos and I didn't play them. Yeah, coded productions are always, or even like videos are always shown. Like if it's for music, you know, basically that's true. And then, so if your song didn't make the music compo, quickly make a demo. Which happens a lot of times in the past. We have time.
You've got, black screen and good music.
No, we've done it once a really long time ago, but I've seen it happen and it was like, oh, my song didn't get played. Let's quickly whip something up and it still gets played in the compo. And I mean, I'm okay with those. Like, it will definitely not win, but it's also a different like reason for a demo. All these incentives. I know it's interesting to hear your perspective and also your motivation for it, because I think it's good to hear for people that kind of expect these household names of like, oh, they breeze through it and it's super easy. And it's like, no, it's all the same. It's all the same.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you can still, I don't know if you get it, Kirio, where it's, the old self-doubt of whether, is this going to work? Am I doing the right thing here? Because that does, I mean, it does happen. Like it can be absolutely spirit crushing sometimes when you just like, I can't seem to get the right atmosphere for this or whatever. You know, it happens, but you know.
You mean for the production that you are doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we had few projects like this when we knew that it's going to suck because the, you know, maybe not suck, but it would be like average, like, yeah, doing something just for the sake of doing it. And it would be a wasted project, basically. We had quite a few of them. And it's actually easy to tell pretty early in the making that it's not clicking, right?
Yeah.
Either it's not like fitting to the music or there's just no energy in the team that is making it. And it's hard to push through. Sometimes it's hard to push by yourself, especially if you decided on the project that relies on teamwork. Sometimes you can do stuff on your own, mostly, like do the coder's art and but sometimes when you start as a team and it starts to break apart in the middle, you are just trying to do the job and not enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most wasted time that we had on the demo scene, because you still have to do something that is decent. Yeah, just finish it and be done with it.
Because we don't want to stop now because you already did so much.
Yeah.
So let's finish it and everybody's kind of burned out by it.
Yeah.
For something that should be so joyous. Yeah. Yeah.
We usually didn't postpone this kind of projects for the next year because they are mostly unsalvageable. You just want to, you know, close it, and it leaves like bad taste, you know. You are not trying to fix, you know, something that is broken by definition. So better to just push it out of the door. And
are you even enjoying it then when you release it, or is it something you're just happy to get rid of?
I don't remember like this particular the feeling about this particular project. Probably I still enjoy it because the party gives you such a big boost of the positive feelings that it mostly overcompensates. But it's not the same. It's not the same with the projects that you really feel that you are doing something.
That's what I was going to say. Like the flip side of all of that is when everyone is firing on all cylinders and it is just, and it's
yeah,
just,
sometimes like, it's yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And that sucks. But I like the fact that you said that we will finish it, because if we postpone it, we'll never go back to it. So we'll finish it so we have it done, because it's like it's too much to give up.
I don't know. Maybe it would be better to actually give it up, but
that depends. Sometimes killing something because it doesn't work. If
you already spent 3 months on it, then you know, and you probably got about another 2 weeks. Then you know.
If we release something, you in the end are like meh,
you're going into it knowing that, you know, maybe it's not your best. So, you know, you've already kind of managed your expectation of like, you know, what's going to happen with it, you know, but at the same time, you know, you're going to a demo party and you're going to meet all your friends and they're going to watch it and they'll probably tell you it's better than you thought it was anyway.
Good point.
Release it under a new name so people know what it is. See what happens.
We actually did that like a few times. So I think we once released under like a random name and we won.
Like, how is that fair? Like, you can see if name voting is a thing, like if you still win, like, okay, fair enough, the production won.
Yeah, it's also because you have this like high expectations on yourself, right? You have your own level that you want to like achieve. So
at one point, it's hard to say it's okay to just release something. This production is okay, and there's nothing wrong with a production that's okay. It will still entertain the crowd. It will still be fun. Like it's. But yeah, at one point, you have such a high bar, you feel like, is it worth anybody's time?
Yeah. Well, I think ultimately it is, isn't it? You know, because you're still participating, you're still keeping the scene alive, aren't you? So
that's the most important part.
Yeah. Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure. No. That's how we started this conversation. No pressure. Kira even switched to PC.
Yeah. Probably you should have earlier, but yeah.
Was that actually wondering, like maybe just as kind of like a joke comment, but just for a serious reason, is that like because you felt you could, yeah, why did you switch to PC? Was it just feel you could do more, or were you done with Amiga for now?
I'm not saying I'm done, but probably. But yeah, it is about doing more and also having a lot of like people to compete, especially on like domestic grounds, right? Because in Poland, Amiga demo scene is like,
you.
Yeah. You. It's a few. Yeah. But we actually have quite a few people doing PC demos nowadays. So yeah, it's always like easier if you have more than one or two productions in the compo, right? But yeah, also you have to like build your develop yourself.
Yeah.
And I actually like what I'm doing, the visual aspect of it. Not only like the challenge from the technical point of view, but building nice things. I think, one of the bigger drivers that keeps you in this business, that you actually make nice stuff. You can make nice stuff that's enjoyable to look at and to listen to.
What a wonderful quote. to end on maybe as well, because that's literally, I think, what it is to make nice things. And I mean, you're doing it very well on PC as well. I think I love that as an insight. I just want to make nice things for people to enjoy. And in the end, that's the most important part. I think that's a really great note to kind of wrap this up on.
Yeah.
Is there anything you guys want to say to the, because we always want to reach out to the new people that are maybe afraid to step over the threshold and release something. Is there any advice you want to give?
Just do it. Just do it. Like dig into your mind. See, and just put it out there. Like, just do it. You'll have fun. You'll meet people, and you'll have a chat, and people will talk to you about what you made.
Reach out if you want to do that, something. Ask for advice. Maybe not me, because I suck with answering emails, but...
Nice. Nicely covered. Very good.
But yeah, people usually like are afraid to reach out. So
yeah, and I'm always, you know, if people like catch me on Discord or whatever, then you know, if they ask me a question about something, you know, I'm always happy to answer. You know, I just think, there's the communication channels we have now, like Discord and the rest of it. You know, you can get hold of people easier, and I think people are a bit more. I guess, you know, maybe back in the day it was a little bit more closely guarded in terms of, you know, the code and the technical aspect. But, you know, you see like these days people are just like putting their stuff up on GitHub so you can go and have a look at it. You know, you can examine how someone does something. You can ask someone how they did something, you know, and what, you know, how stuff works. So I think, you know, it feels like the barrier for entry is kind of getting, you know, getting lower. This day and age anyway, so
I think on PC that's especially true. It's easy to enter, it's hard to master, right? It's hard to reach the level to compete with the best ones, but the level of entry is pretty acceptable.
Yeah, you get once you've done your first entry, that's it though. You'll be hooked. You go to a party, you'll release something. It may come last, but it'll be shown on the screen and you'll be really excited by it and then you'll be hooked.
And nothing beats that feeling. That's absolutely true. I think it's true. And at a party especially, like, help is there. And I think that's good to end on. Thank you so much for chatting with me and just share experiences and be open about how it is, because to light it on every side in the demo scene. And in the end, it's just about making nice things. I love that so much. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
So, a nice insight to these two people's workings and how they make and prepare and create and why they create.
exactly, yeah. Funny to hear like completely different kinds of types. Like, you know, I mean, I know them from such a long time ago, and now to see like both elaborate on their views, which are, I think, also quite different to some extent, is funny to hear like this.
Yeah, it's nice to give them the platform to kind of, and the questions you don't dare to ask of like, how did it feel to win? And you're like, we have to be so humble. It's nice to poke through it every once in a while.
Yeah, don't always have to be humble though. So I mean, just if you're feeling good about yourself or whatever you do in that sense, and you made it for yourself basically, then don't hold back in that respect.
I think be humble, but you can also, you're allowed to be proud. Like, you're allowed to say, like, I'm really proud of what I made, and I'm happy that I won a prize because I worked really hard on this. I think that's really good. And hearing people's incentive, and also for new people and people that are listening, like participating, it always is about, in the end, doing it for yourself and to learn something, to share something, to build something,
and
just
to win.
Make the thing.
and to win. Yeah,
and
right.
To win.
And potentially to win. And that's always the question. It's nice to win. I think what we've learned is that it's always nice to win. It's nice to be on the stage, but it's definitely not like the end goal, I think, for most people. I don't think people aim, like, it's fun and it's like the show, and especially when there's rivalry, like you have a few groups going like, I'll see you on stage, like, I'll kick you off the stage, but always in a bit of a bantery way.
Yeah.
But it's always good as well, like, be proud, like, make something and be proud of it. And I think it's really awesome to hear these people that are held in high regard, like, open up and be quite honest and humble and honest. And I think both are allowed, and it's really awesome to get these insights. So I think for us to take away, let's work on our entries and kick them both off the stage.
Yes.
Make a winning production for next year's revision. Design demo, which has everything, mostly music, because that's what we can do.
Raw sex appeal.
Yep.
Music and raw sex appeal. It would be the most tragic demo.
That's for sure. No, but it's quite good to see. I mean, there is a complete change in the demo scene in one aspect when it comes to the competition aspect these days compared to how it was in the late 80s, 90s, because it was more raw competition back then in a competitive way. Today, we've touched this in other episodes as well. I mean, today people are helping out and just sharing secrets or techniques and everything like that in another way than they did before.
Yeah, and I think the trash talking is gone, right, by now? So.
Yeah, now it's more for fun, though.
Sort of, except for the poor threads, of course, but...
Yeah.
It's always the tongue-in-cheek. I think there's a lot of irony. There's a lot of people that actually kind of... I remember talking to Rubber from TBL, who always has this air of, like, I do it, like, ironically, but I'm not going to release it if I'm not sure I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And he meant that. Like, I remember at a revision, and they weren't done. It's like, I'm not going to release it this year, because it's not done, and we're not going to win. And that was serious. But it was also just like, we just want to bring our A game. We're not going to like make something we're not proud of. And as Hoffman and Kira talked about,
I think that's fine.
That you don't want to enter it, even though it sucks that you don't enter. You want to enter next year, because, and then you know you're going to win. And I feel like it's very tied together. But I kind of giggled. I was like, oh no, you're really serious about this. Fair enough. And that is, it's like competition, but also, I want to make sure, I want to be on that stage because I want to show you guys the best we've got.
Yeah, they won't defend their reputation probably as well. So you guys always win, you know, and then you start losing and then you go like, you get bashed on because, you're not the same TBL as it was back then and blah, 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 blah.
The crowd actually going really like, actually like, oh, it wasn't as good as the last time. And that might be really demotivating. I think what we've heard now from Hoffman and Kira is that they keep going, but I can imagine that you feel like, I'm not going to enter because if we are second, people are going to talk shit and it shouldn't matter, but it might. I bumped into Calms at Revision 2019 and he was like, we have a demo. And like, is any good? He's like, I have no idea. I didn't work on it. And he was just blissfully unaware. And I love that as well. Like, I don't know. We'll see it when you see it. And it's, I don't know. I think it's funny insights. And just in the end, let's just keep making cool things, because that's in the end what it's all about. Shiny things.
Yes.
So let's just wrap this all up with like those warm and fuzzy feelings of creation in our tummies on these cold autumn nights. I'm just making this up as I go. We'll be back with a new episode. Thank you, Axel and Ziphoid, for joining us. Stay healthy. And thank you for listening to episode 27. The show was hosted by Oki, Axel and Ziphoid, and produced and edited by Shana and the Goober.
Design is made possible by donations. If you want and can help out, you can find the donation links, the Scene site and Echt site in the show notes. And thanks as always to Scene.org and Bitfilms. Let us know your questions, suggestions and feedback at designradioshow@scene.org or social media accounts in the show notes or on Poet. Please do. We'd love to hear what you think. And if you like the show, please share it with your friends. You can find us on SceneSat, Spotify, and wherever you prefer to listen to your podcast. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Is that a good place for a wrap, or it's just like it ends?